All right, so welcome to another deep dive.
Always fun to be here.
Today, we're going to be looking into something pretty wild, GPS spoofing.
It sounds a little sci-fi, right?
Yeah, kind of like straight out of a movie. But we're going to focus on how it's affecting people in Lebanon. We found this really interesting blog post by Gino Rady.
Yeah, great source.
Really fascinating stuff. And of course, we got that map from the University of Texas and that article from the NY Times.
Gives you some good context.
Yeah, definitely. So we're basically trying to unpack how this technology works, see what kind of an impact it's having on people, and also, like, how do we even navigate in a world where location data can just be, you know, changed like that?
Yeah, because it is, you know, something that's becoming more and more common. And I think what's interesting here is this technology is often associated with, like, cybersecurity.
Right.
But this is, like, interwoven into the fabric of daily life in Lebanon. Gino actually calls it Israel's GPS fog.
GPS fog.
Yeah.
That sounds kind of ominous. Hmm. So what does that actually look like for someone who's, like, living in Lebanon?
Well, just imagine you open up your navigation app.
Okay.
And all of a sudden, it thinks you're in a totally different country.
What?
Yeah, pretty disorienting.
That's kind of freaky.
It is.
Like your phone's playing a trick on you.
Yeah.
But this isn't just like a what if, right? This is actually happening.
This is actually happening to people. Gino actually shares a story from one of his readers. This person was basically teleported to the Dominican Republic.
Whoa.
Just by their phone.
So they're just looking at their phone and they're like thousands of miles away.
Right.
That's wild. And, like, imagine the ripple effects of that. You're trying to, I don't know, order some food, catch a ride, maybe even use a dating app.
Right.
And your phone's telling everyone you're in the wrong place.
Yeah, it really highlights how much we depend on that GPS data.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so before we get into all of that, let's back up a little bit and explain how GPS is supposed to work in the first place. I noticed Gino uses this analogy of, like, triangulation with satellites. Can you explain that a little more?
Yeah. So basically your phone.
Yeah.
It receives signals from multiple GPS satellites.
Okay.
They're orbiting the Earth, obviously.
Right.
Those signals, they contain information about the satellite's location and also the exact time that the signal was sent.
Okay.
And so by measuring, like, how long it takes for these signals to actually reach your phone,
right,
your device can then calculate where you are.
So it's kind of like each satellite's calling out its location.
Yeah, like, hey, I'm over here.
Exactly, I'm over here. And your phone's just listening to figure out where it is based on all these signals.
Exactly. But for this to work, the timing of these signals,
yeah,
it has to be incredibly precise.
Wow.
We're talking billionths of a second.
That's crazy. And so this is where GPS spoofing comes in, right?
Mm.
It somehow messes with those signals.
Let's go.
Okay. So GPS spoofing basically involves sending out fake signals that are much stronger than the real ones.
From the
satellite.
So your phone picks up the fake ones.
Picks up the fake ones.
Yeah.
Believes them.
And then?
Incorrect location data.
Gotcha. You know, it kind of reminds me of, have you ever heard of people spoofing their location in, like, Pokemon Go?
Oh, yeah.
To catch those rare Pokemon.
Yeah, yeah. It's the same idea, but obviously on a much larger scale.
Right.
And so in Lebanon, it seems like this is being used more for strategic purposes.
Mm-hmm.
According to Gino and that map from UT, Israel may be using this GPS spoofing to try and disrupt drones and missiles from Hezbollah and Iranian proxies.
Wow.
So they're creating this GPS fog to kind of confuse incoming threats.
That's really interesting. I mean, it makes sense, but it also makes you wonder, like, if they can spoof GPS for that, what's stopping someone from using it for something else, like something worse?
That's a good question. Could they, I don't know, manipulate, like, financial transactions if they could make your bank think you're in a different country?
Yeah, and that gets to the heart of some real security concerns. But it looks like, at least in Lebanon, the bigger issue is the disruption to everyday life.
Okay, so it's not actually working that well.
Right, because Gino even mentions, like, despite the GPS fog, those drones and missiles are still hitting their targets.
So it's causing more problems for the average person than for, like, the military.
Exactly. And that leads us to, like, the wider impact of GPS spoofing.
Okay.
You know, which are both psychological and economic.
All right, let's get into that. I'm really curious to see, like, beyond just messing up your map, how is this affecting people in Lebanon?
Yeah, let's dive in. I mean, think about it. Like, if your phone can lie to you about where you are,
yeah,
what else can it get wrong, you know?
Right.
This idea of constantly being mislocated,
yeah,
it really erodes our trust in the technology that we rely on every day.
Yeah, for sure. It's like this crack in the foundation of our digital lives.
Exactly.
If we can't even trust our phones to tell us where we are,
right,
what can we trust?
Exactly. And so that has some like pretty significant psychological impacts.
Okay.
You know, people start to feel this unease.
Right.
Like they're living in a world where reality itself is being manipulated.
That's pretty heavy. And I imagine it spills over into like the economic side of things too,
well,
right?
Absolutely. I mean, think of all the businesses that depend on like accurate location data.
Yeah.
Ride sharing.
Yeah.
Delivery companies, even those dating apps we talked about.
Right.
When GPS is unreliable, it disrupts those services,
right,
and can lead to financial losses.
Wow. So this GPS fog, it's not just an inconvenience.
Right.
It's like genuinely affecting people's ability to earn a living, to work.
Right.
It makes you wonder if this is just like a small taste of what's to come as the world becomes even more reliant on these digital systems.
Yeah, it's a question we need to be asking ourselves. But, you know, there are things we can do to navigate this new reality. In fact, Gino offers some pretty practical advice in his blog post. I think you'll find it pretty empowering.
Okay, let's hear it. What can people do to fight back against this GPS fog?
So one of the key things he emphasizes is diversifying your navigation sources.
Oh.
Instead of just relying on GPS.
Okay.
You can use other satellite systems like GLONASS.
Oh, okay.
Galileo, Beidou.
I've heard of those.
Yeah, so it's kind of like a backup plan for your location data.
Gotcha. So instead of putting all your eggs in one basket, you spread them out.
Exactly.
It makes it harder for spoofing to just totally throw you off.
Exactly.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
How do you actually do that? Are there specific apps or like settings that we need to change?
Yeah, there are. There's actually an app called GPS Test.
Yeah.
And it's really helpful because it'll show you which systems are being affected in your area.
Ah, so you can kind of get a sense of what's going on.
Gives you more awareness.
Okay, so GPS Test, that's one tool in the arsenal. What else?
Another strategy that Gino recommends is downloading offline maps.
Offline maps? You mean like...
You know, like the ones we used to use.
The actual, like, paper maps?
Yeah. Well, not necessarily paper, but you can download digital maps to your phone so you can access them even when you don't have an internet connection.
Okay.
And the nice thing about these offline maps is that they don't rely on the real-time satellite signals the same way live navigation does.
Right. So even if the GPS is being spoofed...
Exactly.
You can still find your way... Using those maps.
Exactly.
Like a secret weapon against the fog. Any tips on how to do that? I'm guessing it's pretty easy with like Google Maps, Apple Maps, all that stuff these days.
Yeah, it's pretty easy. So in Google Maps, for example, you can just zoom out to the area you want to download, go to settings.
Right.
And just hit download.
Okay, so super simple. I like that. Simple, practical solutions that anyone can use. It's like Gino saying, like, hey, this is happening. It might even get worse.
Right.
But don't panic.
There are things we can do.
Right.
We can adapt.
Exactly. And it speaks to this larger theme of, you know, resilience in a world that's becoming increasingly unpredictable.
Yeah.
We might not always be able to prevent these disruptions.
Right.
But we can learn to navigate them.
Absolutely. And speaking of navigation, Gino also mentioned something I thought was really interesting. He encourages us to rediscover those analog skills.
Oh, yeah.
Like reading a map.
I love that.
Using a compass.
Yes.
It's like going back to the basics.
Right. In a world that's so hyper-focused on technology, we kind of forget the power of those traditional skills.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? It could actually be incredibly useful.
It could.
In situations where, like, your phone's dead or the GPS signal is unreliable, it's like having a backup for your backup.
No, exactly.
Plus, it could be kind of fun to learn those old-school navigation techniques.
I agree.
Brush up on those skills.
Like a lost art.
Totally. And you know what's interesting?
Lebanon's geography might actually make it easier to navigate using these traditional methods.
Oh, really? How so?
Yeah. So Gino points out that Lebanon has the Mediterranean Sea to the west and mountain ranges to the east.
Okay.
So even without GPS, it's relatively simple to orient yourself along the coast.
So even in the face of GPS fog, the geography offers a kind of natural compass.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
It is interesting to think about how the digital and the analog kind of interplay.
Right. And this whole conversation is really highlighting the importance of, you know, questioning our assumptions about technology.
Yeah.
You know, we often just take it for granted.
Right.
That these systems are always going to work perfectly.
Exactly.
But Gino's experience in Lebanon shows that's not always the case.
It's a good reminder. It's like we need to have a more critical understanding of the technology we use.
Yes.
Recognizing both, like, its amazing potential and its limitations.
Exactly. And start thinking about those backup plans for when technology fails us. Because like Gino says, the future's already here.
It is.
And it's moving faster than we can imagine.
Yeah, it really makes you think, like, how vulnerable are we really when we put so much trust in technology?
Definitely makes you think. But the good news is, it's not like we're totally helpless, right? We've learned there are things we can actually do.
Right, exactly.
To be more resilient in this crazy digital world we live in.
Exactly. Okay, so let's recap what we've learned about GPS spoofing and how it's impacting folks over in Lebanon.
Okay.
We started by talking about how this technology even works. Basically, tricking your phone with these fake signals that drown out the real ones from the satellites.
Yeah, and it's wild to think, you know, it's meant to disrupt military threats.
Right.
But it's having a huge impact on daily life.
Absolutely.
People getting, like, virtually teleported to other countries, and it messes with everything. Ride sharing, deliveries.
Even dating apps. Yeah, there's a story about being, like, teleported to the Dominican Republic. That one really stuck with me.
Yeah.
You realize just how much we depend on our phones to tell us where we are.
Absolutely. And it can be so disruptive when that information is wrong.
Right. But we also talked about how we can fight back, right?
Yeah.
One of the things we mentioned was, like, using other satellite systems along with GPS.
Right. Diversifying those sources.
Exactly. And like that app, GPS Test.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
Super handy, especially if you travel a lot.
Definitely.
And, of course, those offline maps.
Ah, yes. Back to basics.
I know, right? Might seem a little old school, but, hey, it's a smart move to have that backup when you need it.
Absolutely.
You know, I'm kind of excited to break out my old map and compass skills again. See if I still got it.
Yeah. It's like taking back a bit of control, you know?
Exactly. So as we wrap up this deep dive, I'm left with one big question. If GPS can be manipulated so easily, like, what other digital systems are vulnerable?
That's a big question, isn't it?
And, like, what can we do to prepare?
I think that as our lives become, you know, more and more intertwined with technology, it's crucial to be aware of these potential problems and to, you know, think ahead and try to protect ourselves.
Absolutely. And I think Gino's experience in Lebanon was a real wake-up call for a lot of us. It's a good reminder to stay informed, be adaptable, and, hey, maybe even learn how to use a compass again.
I love that. Stay curious, keep asking questions, and keep diving deep.
That's what we're all about. Thanks for listening.